With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The boating tailgate party. Whoa, now that's way too loud. Going on through Sunday, we'll tell you all about that and how you can win luxury box seats for the Brewers out here today. But we got a lot to get to with you between now and 5:30. Plenty of Bucks talk, obviously, including at 3 o'clock. Surprise, surprise, Sparky's going to be stubborn. At 4 o'clock, we'll talk about just what that win meant as far as the rest of this series. But right out of the gates, we just want to know, what did that win mean for you last night? How exciting was it? If you were at the BMO Harris Bradley Center, especially want to hear from you about the raucous environment inside that building. Sparky, I know you were loving each and every minute of it, and that carried right on to the Milwaukee Bucks pick and save postgame show.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool deal. You know, yesterday we talked about it on the big show. We took predictions in this one, and Gary Wolfel said, what did Gary Wolfel say? Raptors win, but it would be close or something like that,
yeah.
I think.
And you said they would win by 10 to 12 points.
And what did you say?
I didn't make a prediction.
That's right.
I'm not in the Bucks prediction game anymore.
Right. And clearly we were all wrong because they killed them. I mean, it was a game where after the first quarter, Rami, I turned to Kane. I said, well, that was nice. I mean, I'm really happy that we're up. But Toronto's going to make a run. They aren't going to be this cold the whole game. And the Bucks aren't going to be this hot this whole game. So this is not going to last. And they're going to have to play defense for four quarters in order to hold on to win this thing. Toronto never made a run.
No.
Never. At any point. Normally in a playoff game, you see both teams make several runs throughout the game. And you just hope you make the last run in order to win the game. And Toronto never got on that run. And Toronto never got on that run. Why? Because the Bucks defense was suffocating. It was swarming. It was intense. That's what it was. I can't hear myself now, so I hope everybody else can. But that is the biggest deal for me, was just how good that Bucks defense was. The other thing I should point out is this, Rami. We all were mad at Coach Sweeney. Well, not maybe all of us, but I was, and most of us were, about this defense and how bad it was at times throughout the year. Last night was what they want this defense to look like every game. Hair on fire, right? Everybody running around. And then in offense, they want great ball movement and continue to play at a high level. I don't think it's possible for the regular season for a team to play at that defensive intensity every game all year long. I don't think it's possible. And that was my one big beef with this defense was, and that's why I called it hair on fire defense, and the Bucks players laugh at me whenever I call it that, because if you don't play with that type of effort, it will make you look really stupid, and you will get beat, and you will give up a lot of wide-open shots if every single player is not giving 110%. When it's right, it can be dominating. And last night, they were dominating against the Toronto Raptors. Now, can they play with that same intensity level coming up on Saturday? Can they play with that same intensity level on Monday in Toronto? I don't know. We're going to find out. But I can't remember another defensive performance as good as what I saw by the Milwaukee Bucks last night in my life watching Bucks basketball. I asked last night, can anybody remember the big three? Because we always like to talk about the big three, right? Sam Cassell, Ray Allen, Glenn Robinson, and then Tim Thomas, I guess, is your fourth. Ever putting on a defensive clinic like that? No way. That team scored. Defense was okay. It was better when it needed to be, but it was never that. That was probably the best defensive performance I've seen from a Bucks team in my life. And I'm 40. Now, I don't remember a lot about the Lou Alcindor days, so I can't go back that far. But I can go back to the Alvin Robertson, Jay Humphries, Jack Sigma days, and I don't remember them playing that type of suffocating defense watching them on TV.
No, that was
That was downright impressive, yeah, what I saw from the Bucks last night. But the best defensive game you've ever seen?
From a Bucks team, yeah.
Ever?
From a Bucks team, yes. No, without question. And somebody asked Jason Kidd after the game about that, and they were talking about specifically about, I think, the performance against DeRozan specifically. And when I got to play the press conference, I said, let me answer this. It's definitely the best defensive performance they've had under Jason Kidd as far as how they played for the entire
game. That I can
game.
Remember, yeah.
And you had the Cavaliers game. They're down, what, 25 at halftime? Indiana blows it. The Bucks come out in the second half and go, okay, this ain't over yet. Let's come out and see what happens. And they continue to play with that intensity, that ferocity on defense. I don't know if they're capable of playing better defense than what they played last night. That was an unbelievable effort on the defensive side of the floor. And again, like I said, that's what it's supposed to look like every night when played correctly. And it's awesome
but it's
when
impossible.
Played correctly.
It's impossible to play that level of defense every night correctly.
To play at that energy level.
Right.
And that was my problem and has been my problem with this defense. Just you have to have too much energy expounded. And then you get to the offensive side of the floor when you are playing like that, and what happens? Guys want to sit there and dribble the basketball, and you make two passes. Why? Because you're trying to catch your breath from what you just did trying to play defense, and now you're worn out trying to come back to play offense on the other side of the floor. It's just – it's very, very demanding. Again, when it looks right, it's tough to beat. And I don't care who you're playing. I don't care if that was Cleveland last night, whoever. When they play defense like that, they are a very tough team to beat.
I'm not saying – and John McLaughlin touched on this a little bit in the postgame on Bucks Live. I'm not saying by any stretch that if the Raptors were on last night that they win that game, because the margin was so great that there was nothing
Raptors
are going to do to win that game.
I'll give you another thing.
Uh-huh.
Forget the shooting percentage,
uh-huh,
okay? And they pointed this out on Fox Sports Wisconsin too, Marcus Johnson and Gus Johnson. Dude, DeRozan and Lowry – one took four shots in the first half. The other one took five.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they didn't want to shoot, but because they couldn't get a shot. And they had to keep passing it up because they were running doubles at him and everything else. They forced their two best players into not taking shots. I mean, that's crazy. Could you imagine LeBron James taking four shots and a half?
DeMar DeRozan didn't have a made field goal in the game.
Right. And you know the last time that happened was? For
they
DeRozan?
Showed the stat last night, but I forget.
Third time in his career. The last time it happened?
Was against the Bucks, wasn't it?
2015. Same defense. So, yeah, again, this is a problem. And I read an article by Matt Moore on CBS Sports. He said last night might be the beginning of the end of the Raptors era as we know it in Toronto. That game last night might mark it. Because he seems to think if they get booted by the Bucks again here in the first round and they're gone, he thinks they might blow that thing up. We'll have to wait and see. Because this would be 3 or 4 years they've had first-round exits. So last year would be the only run what they had to the Eastern Conference Finals. That would be it. And then is that, you know, 3 or 4, if you're Raptors management, do you decide to move a DeRozan or let DeRozan go or do something with Lowry or go in a different direction? I don't know.
I mean, if you're the Raptors, if you want to look at it from that side of things for a minute – and you already have the hurdle that is the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference. And then you come into a first-round series against a Bucks team that's trying to proclaim themselves as the next the heir to LeBron and the Cavs'
Correct.
Throne.
Yep.
I mean, now, if you're the Raptors, you look at it and you go, well, now we have two pegs that we got to climb before we even have a chance.
And the Bucks weren't expected to be a peg. They beat them 13 of 15 coming into this series.
And the Bucks are supposed to keep getting better in the years to come.
You don't have Jabari.
You don't even have Jabari Parker, and you have a 19-year-old Thon Maker and a 22-year-old Giannis.
If they had Jabari, they'd be up 3-0.
If they had Jabari, this series wouldn't even be a contest.
Yeah. Yep.
If they had Jabari, my prediction of a home court series in the first round doesn't sound so crazy. We might not even be talking about playing the Raptors right now if they had Jabari.
If they had Jabari, I'd be very, very interested to see if Cleveland could get by him next round. Very interested to
Take
see.
Take it easy.
Just very
no,
interested.
No, just calm down. I know last night was very exciting, but let's just calm it down a little bit, okay? I'm not going to – today is
Kyrie,
not – this isn't going to be a day where I rain
Kyrie,
on your parade and make you walk out, okay?
Kyrie and Kevin Love didn't play in the fourth quarter when they won that game last night. Didn't play. Did not – they were benched. Tyronn Lue benched them because they were so bad yesterday. LeBron by himself and his role players around him, right, J.R. Smith and those guys, and they're – I mean, they've got a lot of good role players. I'm not knocking them. But that's how they won that game. It wasn't the big three. And LeBron after the game is like, well, you know, two-thirds of our big three didn't play that well tonight, meaning the other two.
Yeah.
That team is beatable, and their defense sucks. So they're beatable. Now, I still think Washington has a chance. I don't know if they'll do it. Washington has a chance. But now if I can have Middleton with 20, Jabari with 20, Giannis with 25, and then I get Monroe off the bench for 15 or 16, and what Beasley brings, what we saw last night, would have been nice to see Beasley instead of Mirza in game three. They might be up 3-0 right now. All that offense, and for Cleveland to deal with, I don't know. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll find out next year.
What did this that win last night mean for you? 799-1250, or you can email us live at 1057fmthefan.com. Let's get a call in this segment. We'll go to Martinez in Port Washington. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Martinez?
Man, what's up, man? Hey, I was at the game last night, man. That game, the crowd was unbelievable. It was so loud, man. I couldn't even hear myself think. Everybody listened to Sparkly mostly. They had their shirts on. I was making sure people put their shirts on. So, you know, it was fun.
Do you know who didn't listen to Sparky? Hey, do you want to know who didn't listen to me? I had one person call the post-game show last night who was sitting by Peter Fagan and said the president of the Bucks wasn't wearing the shirt. Robbie comes in today and says Wesley Edens wasn't wearing the shirt.
No, he wasn't.
And I'm not sure Mark Lazary was wearing the shirt. So we hand out these shirts, and the owners and the president don't wear the shirts. Now, come on, man. How do you not have your shirts on? That doesn't make any sense to me. Sorry, go ahead.
That was crazy. The defense of the Bucks, man, I've been waiting for that for a long time. They was hounding them. And the referees let it play. I mean, Snell was basically in DeRozan. I mean, he was on them, and they wouldn't call no whistle. I was so happy about that because he was playing tight defense. I guess they respected it finally. And then Dellavedova, you know I call him trash. Regular season Dellavedova is trash. Playoffs Dellavedova is fantastic. The way he was hustling, grit, man, it's amazing. I'm going to the game tomorrow. I'm going to get there early. I'm going to party outside. Man, I'm wearing my black shirt again.
Hey, by the way,
ready, man.
You're talking about tomorrow, Martinez. The Bucks told me that they're changing things up a little bit for tomorrow. So tomorrow, the pep rally and all that starts at 11 a.m., 3 hours before game time, 4th and State. But tomorrow, they're bringing TV screens outside. So if you don't have tickets to the game, you can go be a part of the pep rally and then stay outside and continue to party and watch the games on the big screen with all the Bucks games and everything else going on
outside.
That's
awesome.
So they're bringing the games outside on the TV screen. So even if you don't have tickets but you want to go party near the arena and party after the game around the arena, you can do it right there outside the BMO Harris Bradley Center.
Hey, I just want to say fear does deer. Get down there. Support this team. I'm out. Have a good one.
Take care. Be good. There he is, Martinez. And tomorrow you guys get rally towels. Everybody gets a rally towel when they go into the BMO Harris Bradley Center tomorrow. And I saw a design of what it is. It's Jason Terry doing the whole arms raising thing. Yeah, and it's got like the antlers in the middle of his hands type deal.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it looks pretty sweet.
I love watching that dude just just on the bench. How much he's enjoying the game. You know what I mean?
That whole bench was into that game last night. Like numerous times everybody got up off that bench. When Greg Monroe dunked the basketball, I lost my mind. I lost my mind on my couch. They lost their mind. It didn't even count. They lost their mind on the bench. We had Greg Monroe on Sparky's Bucks Weekly last week.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, every time we do Sparky's Bucks Weekly, I always take tweet questions for him.
Sure.
And I had Monroe laughing last week. We had a bunch of funny ones. But one of them was, dude, why don't you dunk the basketball more?
I always wonder that,
right,
man. He does those little bunny hops.
Yes.
Yeah.
And misses sometimes.
Yeah.
And Monroe started laughing. He's like, I don't know, man. It's 2 points. You know, I don't know.
No, man, if I was 7 foot, I would be dunking. Not even just when I'm on the court. I'd just be dunking everywhere, everything, if I was 7 feet tall.
Walking in places, dunking.
Just dunking.
Oh, my God.
I'd be dunking on street lamps. I'd be dunking on everything. Dude, I'm 7 feet tall. Are you kidding? And athletic?
Yeah.
I'm 7 foot and athletic? Does he know? Is he taking it for granted that he's 7 foot and athletic?
I don't know, man.
Does he know there are little guys like me and you out there who would kill to dunk a basketball?
But the point is, you know he gets harassed by all of his teammates about not dunking the basketball,
yeah,
so I'm sure. So when he went up and threw that down, even though I don't think it counted, that whole bench was laughing and going crazy.
It shouldn't be that big a deal that a 7-footer dunked.
I don't know. I thought it was awesome.
I love Greg Monroe, but jeez, man.
And did you hear?
Throw it down, big fella.
I think it was, who was it that said it? Somebody said last night, David Falk was in the arena last night, his agent. Now, remember, Monroe can opt in and come back next year or opt out and become a free agent. It's not like $17 million on the line. I asked him, of course, last week to break the news and announce it on the Sparky's Bucks Weekly that he was staying, and he just laughed at me, wouldn't do it. But Fox said he loves Milwaukee. He loves playing in this town. So that's a good sign. I mean, that he likes the teammates he's with. He likes the city that he's playing in. So maybe he will opt in. I think it's just all still going to come down to money and whether or not the money matches up with a winning situation. I wonder if you're Boston, if you would consider it, even though you do have Al Horford. Because now there's talk Carmelo Anthony was wanted by the Celtics at the trade deadline. Brad Stevens and the coaching staff wanted him. Danny Ainge vetoed what they wanted and said, I'm not doing it. And now there's speculation that if the Celtics get knocked out by the Bulls, who just lost Rajon Rondo, if they get knocked out in the first round, that maybe the Celtics will revisit a trade for Carmelo Anthony. And then it's, you know, Carmelo Anthony, Al Horford,
Isaiah Thomas. Yeah.
And I wonder if they couldn't be that stupid. I can't imagine they give up the number one overall pick if they have it for Carmelo Anthony.
No. That would be a terrible move.
Then you add on, say, Ball, if he goes one, with Isaiah Thomas, with Carmelo, with Horford. Now they got some talent on that team to deal with.
I need to make a quick correction. Radio Joe was at the game last night covering it for the station. He says Edens was wearing his shirt. He must have put it on after the game started because me, Baby Tausch, and our intern, Block, were watching it in studio just before the game tipped off, and they were showing they did a pan of the front row, and they stopped on Wes Edens. He was just wearing a black V-neck
T-shirt. So he turned
t-shirt.
It on after they started.
So he must have put it on after the game started. So give him props for following Sparky's instructions and putting on that shirt. We're out here at Skipper Bud's in Pewaukee for their boaters tailgate party going on through Sunday. Skipper Bud's Boating Super Center has the largest selection of boats in the Midwest. Use boats of all sorts plus new models from Sea Ray, Four Winds, Mastercraft, Harris, Glastron, Starcraft, Skarab, Scout, Taiga, and Yamaha. I don't have a boat, so forgive me if I'm not pronouncing these right. But this spring's selection of clearance and blowout models is fantastic. New boat and motor packages starting at just $15,995. Buy a new boat and register to win luxury box seats for the Brewers. You hear me? Register to win luxury box seats for the Brewers. We're at Skipper Bud's Boating Center, I-94, exit Highway T, West Frontage Road in Pewaukee, and check them out at skipperbuds.com.
Now, these guys may know the name of the show
yes.
that I don't remember, but you know how they have reality TV shows like Lakefront Bargain Hunting or whatever else, and there's all these different shows.
Yeah.
And the people go and they try and find, they get realtors bring like three different homes, and then they figure out what home they want to buy and move into. They have a show on boats doing the exact same thing.
Oh, really?
That I just started watching. Yeah, we started watching it, and it's, you know, it was a husband and a wife trying to find a fisherman slash like fun boat for their kids. And they try out all these different kinds of boats, like three different kinds of boats, and test them out and do the whole thing and then pick their boat out. That's a pretty cool show, too, if you're into boating.
Do you know what this thing is here? This big foam rubber mat, whatever that is? What is that? What does that do? Yeah, what is that? What was that?
A Maui mat.
And that just floats? And you can, like, lay out on it? It's like a lily pad for humans?
A lily pad for humans. The Maui mat. The lily pad for humans. There you go. Robbie's a marketing genius.
I didn't know that was a thing. That's awesome. That's outstanding. I might just buy one. I can't afford a boat, but I might just buy one of those and go float out on the lake and get some sun, man.
I could see Rami right there where he lives on his very busy street that he lives on. There's the Maui mat on his front yard, and he's just lying out.
I'm like a 5-minute drive from Lake Michigan, dude.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. That's not. I might have to invest in that. So come on out here. Skipper Bud's, once again, it's I-94, exit Highway T, West Frontage Road in Pewaukee.
Getting questions about the game tomorrow.
Yeah.
They'll be wearing white uniforms, and they'll have the traditional court.
So are we having a white
out?
So
no fear of the deer
show. People wear white?
No. They're handing out towels. So
okay.
That's all there is.
All right. What did that win mean to you last night? 799-1250, or you can email us live at 1057fmthefan.com, or just stop out here and say hi. It's Skipper Bud's in Pewaukee. We're the Wendy's Big Show. We're in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios, and we'll be right back.
I thought our defense was very active. Guys were picking each other up, and we were rebounding the ball. And we, you know, I thought in that first half, I think we gave up one offensive rebound, and that helped us.
There's Bucks head coach Jason Kidd after the big win over the Raptors last night. This is the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer out here at Skipper Bud's in Pewaukee for their boaters tailgate party going on through the weekend, and asking
What did that win last night mean for you? 799-1250. Or you can email us live at 1057fmthefan.com. And again, if you were in that BMO Harris Bradley Center, that raucous BMO Harris Bradley Center, especially want to hear from you about that environment, 799-1250. Or email us live at 1057fmthefan.com. Let's talk with Troy on the north side. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Troy?
Hey, what's up, Big Show?
You?
You the man. Hey, check this out, Sparky. I know that you, I agree with you a couple years. I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. You were always saying that no big-time free agent would come to Milwaukee, and I agree with you. And I still think that's never going to happen. And my thing is this. In order for the Bucks to be a championship-caliber team, they would have to draft, and they would have to hit on their draft picks, and they also would have to get lucky with a guy like Middleton coming in. Nobody thought Middleton was going to be this good. At least I didn't.
Did you hear the post-game show last night with John Hammond?
No, I missed that one, Sparky.
Okay, so we had John Hammond on the show last night, and I asked to have him on before the game even started. I said, if they win, I wanted to get John Hammond on. And Bucks PR said, yeah, sure, no problem. And I wanted to bring him on and just kind of say, you know, good job, whatever else. It's just unbelievable, the job you've done putting this team together, whatever else. And I brought up Chris Middleton. I said, you know, when you made that trade, Middleton and Brandon Knight for Brandon Jennings, I remember the media going, wow, Middleton's just a throw, and it's really about Brandon Knight.
Exactly.
And, you know, and John kind of poo-pooed it right away when I used to do that back in the day. And John said, let me tell you how that all happened. He said that trade was supposed to be Brandon for Brandon, but because of salaries, the only player on the Pistons roster that worked to make that trade happen, to make salaries work, right, was Chris Middleton. There was no other player on that roster.
So he was literally a throw-in.
He was literally the only player that would work, and Joe Dumars did not want to trade Chris Middleton. He said, this is going to be good. I don't want to give him up on top of what I'm doing. But he finally said, well, we got to do it. So Dumars made the trade and told Hammond, and Hammond talked to a couple other people in the Pistons organization about Middleton, and they all raved that they thought Middleton could be pretty good one day. But that was the only reason Middleton was in that trade.
Wow.
Was only because he was the only salary that worked on the Pistons roster to make that deal work for the Bucks.
Wow, that's huge, man. What I seen last night, Sparky, is hope. And I'm not trying to make it after one game, because at the beginning of the season, Sparky, I didn't think the Bucks were going to make the playoffs, period. I think
right.
They're overachieving. I think they're ahead of schedule. And that's the reason I'm so excited about it, because I could see LeBron's getting older. He's not getting younger. This team can be a beast in the East. They have a lot of upside, man. Thon Maker, I think the kid going to be a player. I think Brogdon was a steal in the draft. I think Tony Snell is going to be a lockdown defender. They got a lot of pieces, man. And so I'm really excited, and I think this team can be a champion. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship. I know that, I mean – it's like everybody in the moment right now, but I'm not saying they're going to win a championship, but you got to admit, they are overachieving. They're ahead of schedule, and I'm very excited about it, man.
It's okay to say they're going to win a championship, because they are. I mean, it's okay. It may not be this year, but they're going to win a championship or two or three or four or five
you
or six or
seven.
You know
how I feel about that.
Sorry, I did the LeBron. But this is the thing.
Not one.
Right.
Not two.
That crap.
Not three.
But for me, you know, he said, well, I don't think they'll ever get a big-name free agent. But Greg Monroe was that guy that nobody thought. Remember, how many guys did we have on leading up to Greg Monroe's decision? Nobody gave the Bucks a chance. Well, it's just a token interview. They really don't have a chance. He's going to pick one of the bigger
He's
markets.
He's using them for leverage.
Milwaukee's trying. That's
right.
Nice. Good
yeah.
for them for trying, the new owners. But they're not going to get him. And then they got him. Now, it's not LeBron or Kevin Durant or whatever. I understand that. But it was still a pretty big-name free agent that offseason. He was one of the top guys. And you were able to get him in. I think what's going to happen is eventually it's going to become like LeBron in Cleveland. And when it was LeBron and Wade and Bosh.
Where
and
people want to come to play with him.
Where you have veterans that are later in their career that want a ring,
mm-hmm.
and they want to go play with these guys to get a ring. And that's how this is going to play out. Guys will sign a 1-2 year deal, minimal money, to come and help surround them and build their bench. If you look at Cleveland's bench, those aren't star players on the bench. Those are all guys that are pretty good players, but have never been on a team good enough to win, that are now all just filling their roles off the bench and for, you know, 10, 15 minutes or whatever, and doing their job. That, I think, is where this is headed for the Bucks. You know, 5-6 years from now or whatever it may be.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
That's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, yeah. Ladies and
Giannis,
gentlemen.
Giannis, don't
talking
do
about the Milwaukee Bucks.
Don't do that, Giannis.
No? Please
don't, no.
Why not?
No, I don't know.
It worked. Oh, no, it didn't work for them.
No.
They won two. So it was not one, just two. He could have just stopped right there. Two. That's how many we're going to win. Let's get in Roger and Cuddy. What's up, Roger?
Hi, guys. Listen, I guess this is, we're talking about fans and stuff, and I had to call on this. Rami, you mentioned this yesterday. I think you were talking with Sparky, something to the effect, you know, don't tell you what you went through as a Cubs fan, and it got me thinking. I'm wondering, did your family put pressure on you to carry with you and not forget the Cubs curse? I mean, was it something you had an option to do as a next-generation fan? And did the national media help keep that memory alive as opposed to a small market team?
No, it really had nothing to do with my family. Because my parents were immigrants, me and my brother made my dad and, to some extent, my mom sports fans than they did us, because we got Americanized sort of before they did growing up in the States and whatever else. So it definitely wasn't my family pounding it into me. But, I mean, if you're a Cubs fan, and I think the same applies to an extent with Bucks fans, it's unavoidable to hear about the futility of your organization for so long, just watching the games and watching whatever coverage there is about it, and you hear eventually it became 108 years, but from the time I was a kid, you heard about the longest championship drought, not just in baseball, but in all of sports, and you just go, I mean, I had friends that would say, it's going to happen someday, they're going to win a World Series someday, and I would say to them, you know how many generations of people have come before us and might have thought the same thing that you did? I'm not taking anything for granted that we'll ever win a championship. So that's more where it came from than with my family, Roger.
Yeah, I think the national media did their part in not letting that memory go away because,
right.
I mean, I get the feeling with Bucks and Brewer fans, I mean, we haven't forgotten our team's drought, but more try to identify with the hope of what new teams bring, but okay, thank you.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate the call. Do you feel that same way? Well, you're sitting here saying they will win a championship, so you're more in that camp of my friend, Sparky, who would say it's going to happen. One day it's going to happen.
I told you it was going to happen for that stupid
team
of yours.
Yeah, I know.
You didn't listen to me or Josh Verdon, the host of this show.
How can I take that for granted, man?
Whatever. But you just have to kind of have an understanding of where you're at. I'll tell you this. And I'm not going to say the same thing I told you about the Cubs because there's not a track record.
Right.
But David Stearns,
uh-huh.
I'm pretty giddy about David Stearns.
Oh,
right,
I'm a big fan of his.
I'm pretty giddy. Now, he's not Theo. He hasn't done it yet. So I can't make the proclamation and say, oh, yeah, they're definitely going to win a World Series in Milwaukee like I did with you.
It'd be really stepping out on a limb if you said he's the next Theo.
I saw what Theo was already. I knew what Theo could do.
Right.
So I knew he could come there and do the same thing. David Stearns, I don't know for sure yet. But I'm pretty excited. I'll tell you that right now.
Would be too.
Yeah, also pretty excited about Wendy's 4 for $4.
Sparky, me and my girl were still talking about that fresh mozzarella chicken sandwich today, dude.
From New Berlin and Wendy's yesterday.
Yeah.
We met all the people that came out.
I'm serious. If you're out there listening to this show and you haven't tried that thing yet, no.
Dude, you got a Wendy's literally right down the street from your house. You could walk Ozzy down there and get it.
I know, but usually when I go, I get the 4 for $4.
Right.
I kept seeing the commercials for this fresh mozzarella chicken sandwich, so I was like, I got to give this thing a try. Fast food restaurant, like when I heard fresh mozzarella chicken sandwich, I was like, man, fast food restaurants ain't using fresh mozzarella.
Right.
That's fresh mozzarella.
Really? That's legit?
That's legit, melt-in-your-mouth, fresh mozzarella on that sandwich, dude. That thing was so good.
That's awesome.
So good.
So take advantage of that. Plus, again, Wendy's has their quarter pound double stack as an option in the 4 for $4 with over a quarter pound of beef, 4 nuggets, regular or spicy, fries, and a drink. I always tell people to get your fries, get a chocolate frost, dip it in. So good. Deal so good it shouldn't even exist. Yet it does at participating locations for a limited time. And don't forget, the Bucks won yesterday, so you have a chance today to get a free small chili with the purchase of a medium soft drink, because when the Bucks win,
you win.
Now that's a win at Wendy's.
We'll hit a quick break, and on the other side, I don't know exactly what Sparky wants to talk about. We had the show rundown all set, then we sat down here at Skipper Bud's in Pewaukee, and we had something slated for 2:35, and Sparky was like, you know what?
Moved it.
Change that. I want to talk about something else at 2:35. I was like, all right, well, what? And he goes, Jabari Parker. I was like, what about Jabari Parker? He's like, you'll find out. So I'll find out, and you'll find out right after a quick break. We're at Skipper Bud's in Pewaukee. Come down here, buy a new boat, and register to win luxury box seats for the Brewers. It's on I-94, exit Highway T, West Frontage Road in Pewaukee. And we're back right after this in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios. Wendy's Big Show, live from Skipper Bud's in Pewaukee in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Steve Sparky Fife. We're going to talk with our Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McAlvey. He'll join us at 3:35. We'll get to that Jabari Parker story Sparky wants to talk about a little bit later. We got folks filling up the phone lines just asking, what did that win last night mean to you at 799-1250 or email live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Let's check in with Art downtown. You're on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, Rami. Hey, Sparky.
What's up, Art?
So I got a couple questions for Sparky. You know, I listen to this stuff. You know, I'm just an avid listener to you guys. But
Art, it's not baseball. We're not talking about the Brewers.
Hey, listen, you know, I like them all. I like all the sports. Tony Snell. So, man, I've heard more good things about Tony Snell in one day than I heard the entire season. And so I'm just wondering how he became this lockdown defender virtually overnight. And I don't want to take away from the game that he played and the team played. And I don't want to, you know, curb the enthusiasm because I'm just as excited as anyone else. But here's the question. Here's another question for you, Sparky. Let's say Toronto comes in tomorrow and knocks the Bucks off. They go back to Toronto, they win, and we end up losing this series in six games. If that happens, would this still be a step forward for this organization in your mind? And I'll hang up and let me listen to your answer.
Thanks for the call. Two things.
That's
one,
a great question.
Two things. One about Tony Snell. He's an above-average defender. The reason you're hearing all this love is because Giannis shouted him out in the post-game press conference and wanted everybody to praise Tony Snell for the great defensive effort that he had. Giannis is a big guy, likes to praise certain guys. He's a big Tony Snell advocate all year long. I think Tony Snell is a nice player. He's a better player when his offense is going. He's an even better player when Jason Kidd plays him when his offense is going, which doesn't happen all the time. I from everything I've heard, the Bucks are high on him. They want to bring him back. And being that long-term guy, I just don't know if he's your prototypical bench guy necessarily, because when Jabari comes back, you would assume Jabari's back in the starting lineup. Milton goes back to the two, which means Snell goes back to the bench. And for me, you want scores off the bench to come in with your other pieces. That's what I want. And Snell's not really that guy right now. So we'll have to wait and see how this whole thing plays out, because they'll redo the bench, I'm sure, again next year from what it is this year. Then to the second part of your question, if they lose this series in six or seven, or if they lose the series, I think it's still a step forward from the perspective of they got more experience. They know what they're capable of now when they play as hard as they played against the Toronto Raptors. They also know they did it without one of their big three in Jabari Parker, and they all know if, you know, they had his 20 points, that the series probably is different if they were to lose the series. And again, the biggest thing is just the confidence in themselves, what they have to work on to get better, and come back even hungrier next year. And
I think
that's what it's all about.
I think it would take a lot of the – I'm not disagreeing with anything that you're saying, Sparky, as far as the development of the team itself, but when we talk about the fan base
– But you're talking short-term, though.
Right.
You're talking next week.
I think it would take a lot of the air out of the fan base, especially after last night and winning the way that you did on your home floor to eventually go on and lose that series. I think that would be a gut punch for a lot of fans who now have expectations for this team in this series.
Let's recall history, shall we? Against the Bulls, they were not given any chance,
yep.
And they forced that thing to six,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And they lost, and they got embarrassed by like 50-some points. And the fan base was mad, whatever else. And then what happened that offseason? Fan base expectations through the roof. Okay, here we come. Gave the Bulls a lot. We'll be better this year. And then they went in the toilet. Because of injury to Jabari. Then they come back, and this year they were given up for dead in January, early February. They come back again. Now they're back in the series again. I don't think it really dampens expectations or anything else if they lose this series. A lot of people predicted Raptors in five, Raptors in six. Bucks fan base definitely jacked up right now. Short term, next week if they were to lose, yes. There'd be a lot of broken hearts for sure. But I think the farther you get away from it and you get a little more perspective, I think Bucks fans would still be fine with it.
Let's get in Roosevelt in Cudahy. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Roosevelt?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to point out something that I haven't heard a lot about, and that's these guys do not get rattled. I mean, if you look back at Game 2, where Toronto, you can see they were stunned. They were shaken, and they started to come unraveled. These these young Bucks.
Roosevelt?
I think we lost him. All right. Okay, let's go to...
But no, hold on.
Go ahead.
That was a great point. Coming into this series, everybody talked about the maturity of the Raptors in playoff experience versus the Bucks, and they didn't have as much. And through this series, Giannis was a little rattled probably the first couple minutes of the game last night.
I wouldn't call it rattled. I think he was too pumped up.
Okay, whatever. But
right.
the moment got him.
Right.
So you had a little bit of that.
It's like, you know, sometimes a pitcher will go out for a playoff game and he's trying to throw that thing through the catcher and he just has no control. It's sailing all over the place.
As a Brewers fan, I don't have much experience with
that. I
think
that's what happened to Giannis last night.
I don't have much experience.
Sorry,
my bad.
Okay.
But anyways, so you have that. But for the most part, I agree. Game one, they win that series in Toronto in a hostile environment. Game two, Raptors come out, give their best punch to date. The Bucks down 13, come back to cut it within one at the end of the third. Then they get down 10 in the fourth, come back and tie it at 100 with a chance to take a lead if Brogdon's jumper goes down from three. It was halfway in and pops out. That is about as mature as you get. Then you come back from that heartbreaking loss. You come home. Again, pressure kind of back on you again because now you got to defend home court to make that one win in Toronto worth something. Crowd's going crazy. You don't get off to a great start. I mean, neither team's really doing all that much in the first couple of minutes. And then you just pull away and blow them out. And keep the foot on the gas pedal and never let them make a run. Man, that's, for me, that's huge from a maturity standpoint and everything else. And that should go back to Jason Kidd, the coaching staff, and the vets on this team, like Jason Terry and Beasley and Greg, well, maybe not Greg Monroe as much, hasn't been in the playoffs, but a lot of these guys that have been there before, to keep these guys all kind of together and grounded and keep playing going forward. You know, the other thing, I wonder how much Malcolm Brogdon smiles. I was thinking about that last night. Man, every time they show that dude, everybody's going crazy smiling. Brogdon's got the same face as he does when he's playing.
But you know what?
Just same demeanor, done chance. Just like, all right, whatever, let's go.
It's funny you mentioned that because I noticed the same thing last night about Giannis. And remember, Giannis used to be Mr. Smiley.
Right. No, he hasn't smiled a lot this year at all.
It's
business trip.
You know what I think it is? Kevin Garnett. I think that's Kevin Garnett's influence on this team.
No, it was before he started working out with Garnett. This happened late last year.
No, he started doing the Giannis mean face last year, but he would also smile at times too.
Sure.
Now there's no smiling from Giannis whatsoever during a game. It's all business.
Well, it's not just during the game.
That's a Kevin Garnett trait.
It's not just during the game. I mean, they were talking about it on the plane ride.
Right.
Nothing. Bus ride over. Nothing.
Because I could see Kevin Garnett talking to Giannis and like, what's all this smiling about, man? What are you so happy about? You're out here. You got a job to do out here. You're out here smiling.
I can hear KG saying that.
Right?
But I don't want him to be KG from that standpoint. Please don't. Please. Please don't. I can't stand Kevin Garnett. But
hey, if Kevin Garnett helps this team win a championship.
No, I agree.
Whatever hand he has in it, you can like Kevin Garnett.
I'm just saying, I just don't want him to be him on the floor. That I don't want the personality and the swearing and the screaming and all that crap.
Ah, whatever.
I don't want any of that.
That's all fine.
Just be your mild-mannered Giannis self.
You know what I wouldn't model after Kevin Garnett, though? His shaving game, man. He'd always had those weird patches of hair all over his face. It wasn't a beard. It wasn't clean shaven. There was just these weird little patches of hair all over his face.
He probably should have tried Harry's razors like I do, man. I'll tell you, it's a nice close shave. You don't get all the razor burns.
No, you're looking
clean
today.
Or at least I don't.
You're looking
fresh and
clean.
You don't have to worry about the electric razor stuff or going on the battery die and all that.
I don't compliment you often, but you're looking clean today, man.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits for the expense of their customers. Our guys, Jeff and Andy, they stopped it. They decided they're going to take less profit to you by selling it directly over the internet, which means they offer their blades at half the price. And because you listen to the Wendy's Big Show, you can get this set I'm about to tell you for free. You got cover shipping. So Wisconsin, it's a couple bucks. Literally, like a couple bucks.
Even I can afford that.
Free trial set includes a Truman set ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade. They do all their production and stuff over in Germany. Rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, and post-shave balm. That's an $18 value to try. But offer only available to the Big Show listeners if you use my promo code Sparky at Harry's.com when you check out. Start getting a great shave right now with this amazing free trial offer.
Free.
$18 value for free.
free.
Just cover shipping. To get your free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and post-shave balm, go to Harry's.com right now and enter code Sparky.
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 At checkout. That's Harry's.
Harry's.com.
Code Sparky.
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 Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.
More of your calls. What did that win last night mean to you? It's 799-1250 right after this on the Wendy's Big Show from Skipper Bud's tailgate party, Boaters tailgate party going on through Sunday. It's on I-94, exit Highway T, West Frontage Road. Come down here, buy a new boat, and register to win luxury box seats for the Brewers. More of the Wendy's Big Show right after this on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan. Wendy's Big Show, live out here at Skipper Bud's in Pewaukee for their Boaters tailgate party going on through Sunday with great deals on all sorts of used new models from Sea Ray, Four Winds, Mastercraft, Harris, Glastron, Starcraft, Scarab, Scout, Taiga, Yamaha, you name it, they got it out here. This spring's selection of clearance and blowout models is fantastic. New boat and motor packages starting at just $59.95. Buy a new boat and register to win luxury box seats for the Brewers at Skipper Bud's Boating Supercenter, I-94, exit Highway T, West Frontage Road in Pewaukee. Asking you right now, what did that huge Bucks win last night mean to you at 799-1250?
I'm not sure I'll ever retire, per se.
Yes.
But as I get later in life,
yes,
I think I definitely want to live near the water or on the water, somewhere warm.
I don't need warmth. Either emotionally or weather-wise.
You don't need warmth emotionally? What kind of weird person are you?
I'm kidding, man. It's a joke, but I do like being near the water. I really do.
Because I'm just saying, we're out here to see where Buzz, dude. I would love to own a boat, be able to go out on a boat at sunset and do a little fishing or whatever and relax.
The idea of owning a boat sounds really great to me, but I have a lot of phobias and fears. I won't go out on a boat any further than I can. If I can see the shore, we're good.
Yeah, but majority of lakes around here, you can see the shore from when you're on the lake.
You can get pretty far
lake,
out on Lake
I'm not
Michigan.
Saying lake, no, I'm not saying Lake Michigan.
Like, I need to be able to swim. I need to be able to swim back if some stuff
but
goes
like
down. Dude.
Lake Geneva and those lakes. Yeah, yeah, there are plenty of lakes around here. You can go do that.
No, I need to be able to swim back. That's how far I'm willing to go.
Dude, there's life jackets right here. Buy a life jacket.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm scared.
Troy's over there. No,
Troy's with me, man.
Man, that's crazy.
I might just buy this Maui mat, though, the lily pad for humans.
So you're going to go on Lake Michigan on a Maui mat, but you won't get in a
boat.
Yeah,
I'll just tie it to a rock or something on the shore and go like 20 feet out. Let's get to these phone calls.
Dude, you are 799-1250. You are messed up.
Let's go to Mike in Kenosha. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sparky, just get a big bathtub, man.
A big bathtub?
Yeah, that'll fill your knees.
No, it won't. No, I want warm, man. I want like 85, 90 degrees. I don't want snow anymore. I want
well,
warmth.
No,
that's what I want.
To the shore, you get a bath, you know, you get a boat in there.
Yeah, right.
Have your fun and all right. Hey, with the Bucks though, hey, come on, man. Hey, Sparky, you were right on about the Celtics.
Yep.
You were right.
They aren't that good, man. They're not that good. If they lose this series, that'll be 3 years in a row they've got knocked out in the first round.
What do you think about Toronto, though, now?
Yeah, I said, I think it was yesterday or the day before. Where do we go
from here? You know, I think we got the winner of the Cavs, obviously, right?
Yep, yep. Well, that's Cleveland. It's 3-0, so.
But I think we're, I think we got the guys. You know, we got the horses.
I think if you had Jabari, I think you'd have a fighting chance to win that series. Without Jabari, now again, if Kyrie and Kevin Love played like they did last night, then maybe you got a chance. If Kyrie and Kevin Love don't score, but I think scoring is going to be a problem in that next series. You know, the one thing is, and thanks for the call, Casey pointed this out last night after the game, Rami, and he said, I told my guys, listen to me, we can't outquick them, we can't outrun them, you're not going to beat them one-on-one. So the only way to win these games is we must pass the ball and be unselfish.
And they got to hit their shots.
You've got to have – yeah, but they've got a ball. And it came back to him as it got swung around and he got a shot. You got to have faith that your teammates are going to do the right thing with the basketball and take a shot if it's there. But if we hold on to the ball and play one-on-one basketball, we're dead. Can't beat them. Bucks are too long. They're just as quick, if not quicker, than you are with their length. And they can cover quicker if they're not as quick as you. it provides big problems, man. Big problems if the Bucks are playing as hard as they did last night defensively. And that's the question. Can they play at this level defensively going forward? That's very hard to play that high of an intensity level, game in, game out, game in, game out. And that's why having days of rest in between helps.
I was going to say, you can dial up that kind of energy during the playoffs because you have at least 2 days in between almost
every
game.
Right, you're not playing five games in 7 days or something stupid.
So you can dial that up during the playoffs, but you can't expect this day in and day out for a full season.
Agreed. Exactly right. And that's why, again, like I've talked about before, I just don't think this defense works for the regular season. For the playoffs, I love it. Fine, great. If they could figure out something else to do during the regular season and be able to pull this back out in big game situations. So let the other team not know what you're going to come out in, right? You have a big game against Cleveland. You come out with this swarming crazy defense against Cleveland, and then the next night you play Philly, and you go back to your basic defense that doesn't demand as much energy and effort. I don't know if they could do that or not, but that is how the defense was supposed to look all year, what you saw last night. And you saw how much energy and effort it took. And that's why I say I just don't think
you know
could
what
do that all year.
You know what surprised me most about that defense was that it never let up. When you see blowouts like that, usually come the second half or especially by the fourth quarter, you'll see a team start to let up and ease up. I think a lot of that had to do with Casey wasn't pulling all his starters. He pulled DeRozan, but still had Valanciunas out there late.
Lowry
he still had
out
Lowry
there.
Out there late. And Jason Kidd was looking down at the other end of the sideline going, oh, you're not giving up? Well, I'm not either.
Yeah, but, dude, Giannis, man, you're up 24. You didn't need to put him back in that game. There was just no reason to put him back. Eventually, he pulled those guys out. Kidd did. But up 24, I'm going, dude, you better hope nothing happens to that dude up 24 right
now.
Was
there any moment in that game once they got up big where you were like, man, they might let this thing slip away?
I wasn't as convinced until about midway through the third. Then I was like, it's over. I was concerned. I mean, Trittle came out on a 15-2 run or something like that and cut it quick.
Yep.
In half or whatever, then I'm thinking, well, then who knows what happens. But, like I said, Toronto never made a run. And normally in the playoffs, each team will make two or three runs in a game.
There was one sequence where the Bucks were on offense where I was like, man, they are getting a little too comfortable. And it was when Malcolm Brogdon tried to make a Harlem Globetrotters-style pass behind his back to Thon in the corner.
Right.
And Thon barely wrangled it in. It almost went out of bounds. Then Thon went charging to the hole and took that circus shot where he tried to go reverse layup.
Can I tell you something?
I was like, man, these dudes are getting a little too overconfident. They're going to let the Raptors back in the game.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
That should scare the bejesus out of everybody in the NBA because Thon took like two of those shots.
Yep.
And you're like, holy crap, how long is his arm? I mean, he got fouled and his arm was like way over here and he just kind of flicked it up and missed. But dude, he starts making shots like that and he's hitting jumpers. It's over. It's over.
No, if he can hit that circus shot that he tried to hit.
He's so long.
And he wasn't too far from hitting it. But that on that sequence alone, because the only way Toronto was going to get back into that game was if the Bucks got too comfortable.
Right.
You know what
sure.
I mean?
Yep.
And on that sequence, I was like, man, they better tighten this thing back up. They're getting a little too excited and a little too comfortable in this win. And they did. I think Jason Kidd might have said something to it after that sequence because that was sloppy and that's not playoff basketball. I don't care how much you're up by.
I better see Michael Beasley tomorrow, and I better not see Mirza.
Beasley looked good last night, man.
You better not go back to Mirza tomorrow, Jason. Please
I don't think. I think Beasley wasn't, and I think he's still not quite 100% off the injury that
he's better
that
than
back.
What Mirza gives you.
No, you're right.
And I agree with you. He's not 100%, but he's still better than what Mirza's been giving
I agree.
You.
I agree with you. We'll keep taking your calls. We got to hit a quick break. I see you guys out there, Mike, Dave, Jay, full
what is
this, phone
romper
lines.
Room. I yeah. see you guys out there.
We're gonna get to all
these
y'all.
Young guys don't even know what romper room is, do you?
Do you know what romper room
no,
is, Troy?
No idea.
Troy has no idea.
It's a PBS show, like Mr. Rogers.
Remember,
and stuff?
I used to play the romper room theme.
You like Mr. Rogers, right? So it was kind of like that. It's kind of sort of, but it was this lady. And then, was it at the end of the show, I think? She had a mirror that had no glass in it, and she'd look creepily at the TV screen, and she'd be like, I see you, Jimmy. I see you, Johnny. Hi, Katie.
She never said Rami.
Woo.
She never once said Rami.
She used to say Steve a lot.
Yeah,
Steven.
I know. Yep. Yeah.
Got it all the time.
That show was racist. That's what that was. She only said white people names.
Man, I don't know. What'd she say? Did it say Troy? I don't know if she said Troy.
She might have said Troy.
She might have said Troy.
I was kidding. The show probably wasn't racist. Probably. We'll keep taking your calls on the Bucks. And how big was that win for you last night? Just what did it mean for you to watch them just dominate the Raptors the way that they did out there at the BMO Harris Bradley Center? 799-1250. Or you can email us live at 1057fmthefan.com or the Wendy's Big Show. Stop on out and see us at Skipper Bud's. Super Boaters Tailgate Party.
Pewaukee.
Pewaukee, just off of I-94 and Highway T. We're back right after this in the Holtz Chevrolet studio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.